Speaking of not very good, Toronto FC gets back on the pitch this weekend against the LA Galaxy. John Molinaro joins us to discuss this situation. Every time we've had you on lately, it's been things are so bad that you can't even take shots at the Jays anymore because the team you cover is almost as bad.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd say that.
Well, they are. They are.
Well, but the Jays are what? They're already out of playoff contention, right?
Well, what? Like Toronto FC, come on. There's no way they can get the playoffs, can they?
No. I totally agree. But at least they're mathematically alive, unlike the Jays, is my point.
Oh, okay. Define mathematically alive.
They're still alive. I mean, look, I'll be perfectly clear. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, they are 9 points out with 7 games remaining. DC United has kind of surged from the bottom of the Eastern Conference to like 7th place now. So, and you know, Toronto has, you know, let's be perfectly frank, they've been poor this season in MLS. They've conceded a bucket load of goals. I think they've only won back-to-back games once. And critically, when they concede the first goal, they're 0-13-1. Whereas last year, whenever they conceded the first goal, you always had the sense that they would come back and win, and they often did. So, yeah, I mean, I don't hold out any hope. I think the last loss against Los Angeles FC on September 1st was the critical blow, and I think, you know, they're just essentially playing for pride now.
Right. No, and look, and as you've pointed out on this show and elsewhere, and written about, you know, this team has defensive issues, and
right,
those defensive issues can be explained by injuries. And I don't think that's excuse making. I think, quite frankly, those defensive issues can be explained in the majority of cases by injuries, and even a squad that, you know, I think is as deep as Toronto FC appeared to be. Even if you're a championship team, there are key guys you can't lose. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, there was a point at the season where they didn't have any healthy starting center backs. I mean, they were missing Mavinga and Drew Moore. You know, Haglund was out, and it got to the point where Michael Bradley had to start at center back, who was, you know, a fine player in his own right, but he's not a center back by trade. You know, I thought I saw a stat the other day about, you know, Jozy Altidore, Sebastian Giovinco, and Victor Vasquez have only played together something like 200 minutes this entire season. You know, that's pretty telling as well, because those are three key players from a year ago, and the fact that they played so little together for a variety of issues, mostly injuries. I think that's hurt the club as well. You know, again, not making an excuse, because this is a very deep team with the highest payroll in the league, and you would think that it'd still be good enough to be in a higher position that they are at the moment. But I don't think there's any question that, you know, the injuries and the depth of the injuries really hurt them this year.
Yeah, you know, and I know Michael Bradley said a couple of weeks ago, he made the point about he thought that the team had underestimated the challenges of, you know, the sort of defending a championship. And look, I don't want to call Michael Bradley's comments into question, but to me that almost seems like boilerplate. I mean, that seems like awfully easy to say and almost cliche-ish, to be honest. And I don't think professional athletes, John, I don't think they underestimate what it takes in a situation like this. I think more often than not, it can be explained by tactical stuff, by health, or by personnel. I don't think there's this sort of thing in the ether where, quote unquote, we didn't understand what it took to defend a championship. I'm just not buying that. I think there are more obvious explanations for it. I think there are more concrete explanations than some sort of, you know, a group mental letdown. I just do.
Well, perhaps he sort of overstated it, but I do think there is something to what he was getting at in terms of the mental sort of attitude of the team collectively. I do get the sense that there is a fragility there and just plain softness in terms of, you know, again, when last year when they went down, there was never the sense of they're out of games, that there was always a sense that they could come back. Now, I mean, whenever they sort of concede the first goal, it seems to me that they're really playing with this sense of fear and of, oh man, there's a massive hill to climb now. There's not the same sort of swagger and mental strength that they showed a year ago. I haven't seen very little. I've seen very little of it this year. So again, I think, you know, perhaps you're right in that he's kind of overstating it, but I do think just sort of mentally, you know, the frame of mind of the team. I do think there is something to that with regards to what he was saying.
When TFC sits down and looks at this year, and again, bearing in mind there are still those, there's still 21 points on the table, or at least there's 7 matches left. When they sit down and look at this year, at this season, what do you think is the first thing they will want to address?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, I think even they would concede that, you know, their preparation and their early sort of start to the season in MLS, they didn't necessarily get that right. I think they're going to look at how they prepare for Champions League next year. I think the fact that they took some of those games in MLS so lightly early on in the season, thinking that, you know, they could make up the ground, because obviously they were balancing Champions League commitments. So, I think of specifically the, you know, the game against Houston where, you know, Michael Bradley didn't even play, and they essentially used a reserve team. The fact that they took those games so sort of lightly and essentially conceded the points, I think that's something they have to address. I mean, because as they learned, they weren't able to make up the ground as it turned out. And it's really kind of coming back to haunt them now. So for me, I think preseason prep and finding a better way to balance the two, competing on the two fronts, is something that is going to be top of their list in the offseason.
Now, John, we had a conversation with John Herdman earlier this week talking about the national team, and I don't think we've had a chance to talk to you since then, or since their win over the U.S. Virgin Islands. But he was talking about, you know, as you wrote this as well, just the importance of getting those younger players in, getting those three teenage players in, and you really get the sense from talking to John that he's kind of trying to figure out a way to sort of free this team up tactically and maybe take advantage of some of the skill that he has in this team, as opposed to just sort of smothering it with one particular system. Again, it was U.S. Virgin Islands, but the I was going to say carefree nature Canada with Canada played. Carefree is not the right word, but there seemed to be an unfettered sort of optimism to their game, I guess, to that particular match. 8 goals would do it for you, but just the way they approached it, they seemed to be free of fear for one of the few times I can remember a Canadian team feeling that way.
Yeah, I would agree, Jeff. And, you know, certainly, you know, I think the quality of the opposition was a part of it. And, you know, let's be honest, beating the U.S. Virgin Islands isn't all that impressive. But I think it's more than that. I would also point to just sort of John himself, because I think he is the type of player, and we saw that with the women's team, who is really sort of, his bread and butter is sort of instilling confidence in players and really kind of getting them to buy into how he wants to play. And how he wants to play is exactly that, without fear. And it certainly helps when you have players the caliber of, you know, Alfonso Davies. And, you know, as you said, there's a lot to feel optimistic about. And I think a lot of that has to do with there's a good core of young talent on this Canadian team, attacking talent especially. And that hasn't always sort of been the case. And when you sort of mix that in with guys like experienced veterans such as Scott Arfield and Junior Hoylett, who I think have been just sensational additions to the national team, I think it just sort of breeds confidence throughout the entire program. So, yeah, I think, as you said, quite rightly, there's a fearlessness and there's a sense of, you know, we can go out and sort of beat and compete with anyone out there. And again, I think that a lot of that has to do with Herdman himself and just the quality of attacking options that he has at his disposal.